is Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Here it is. The last 2 days. Actually, I have to give a course in Radadesh in Belgium, our college there, on this, and so kind of preparing the notes and stuff like that. And there's a nice, where is it, somewhere here, nice summary. Here it is. Some go right, and some go left. Can I get some water? This is an outline of the Nectar of Devotion he has here. And the original name was Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So what does Sindhu mean?
Sea.
Huh?
Sea.
Ocean. Yeah. Shanti, Sagar, Mahasagar. So just like the ocean is divided into four parts, so the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is also divided into four parts. And what are those? What are the four parts? Eastern. Yeah.
Four directions.
Yeah. Southern. And then what? Huh?
The Western and Northern.
Yeah. So it goes like this. Right? Starts at 3 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock. Like that. Yeah. Western, Southern, Eastern, Northern. Okay. Now, so the book is the same way. It's divided in these parts. And here we have the... On the right-hand side there, there's the chapters that correspond to the original divisions. And there's charts in the back of the book also, but not as good. This is an improved model, approved by the Anjana Sudha Academy. Right down there, you can go to our website and join all of our nefarious educational activities. Mischief at every level. That's our program. Okay. So the eastern side, beginning, is called Bhagavad Bhakti Veda. Should you read that? Varieties of devotional service. So he divides it into four waves. Yeah. The first wave is called Samanya Bhakti, or devotional service in general. What is bhakti? Right? If I do my job, I take care of my family, I pay my taxes, I give charity. Yeah. And is that bhakti? You've got to make some choice here. I'm not going to say anything until you say yes or no. I pay my taxes. I take care of my family. I do this for God. God, I'm doing all these things for you. Is that bhakti? He says yes. No. Yeah. Doing your varnashram duty and sacrificing the results to God is not bhakti, exactly. Because you're doing it for your benefit, to get these benefits out of these things like that. This is the Tattva bodies. It was their idea. It's follow your varnashram system. You sacrifice the results to God, maybe it's something else. But if you're just doing it because God tells you you should do it, okay, that's still material. So he defines bhakti as anyabhilasita shunyam jnana karmati anavritam anukul yena krishna anu. Yeah, just unmotivated service to God. This is love. You do something for somebody else without any expectation of result. Oh God, please give me this. God, please give me that. God, please give me this. God, please give me that. No. Uh-uh. Yeah, no. Anyabhilasita shunyam jnana karmati. No desire for karma. And devoid of understanding God by your own intellectual power. You know, somebody may come in here and say, oh, you know, I see this, I see that. Very good, your philosophy. But I think maybe it's also like this. And Krishna says that, but I think actually it's like this, right? So jnana. You know, our wisdom, our sabiduria, our wisdom, our knowledge. I giving that up. However God tells me how he is, that's how I accept how he is. Because the speculative thing is very powerful. Try and stop the mind from thinking. It'll think about this, it'll think about that. And eventually it'll start thinking about God and so many things like that. So no desire for fruity results, no desire to know God by my own, you know, speculative power. And then serving Krishna. However, it's, you know, pleasing to Krishna, remembering Krishna. That's bhakti, he says. So who can become a bhakta? I have so many desires. I want this, I want that, I want this, I want that. But I had a taste of pure devotional service, some bija, some experience, just what it is to love God with no selfish desire. That's what I want. You know? Okay, we can work with you. So that's samanya bhakti. who can become a devotee, what are the symptoms in devotional service, just a general thing like that. Okay, I'm going to do it. So how do you do it? The second wave. What's that called? Sadhana bhakti, yeah. Devotional service in general, in practice. So there is, how many chapters here? How many chapters in this?
19.
Uh-oh. 11. 17 minus 6 is? 11, yeah. So 11 chapters, there's a lot. A lot of the book is just focused on this very practical activity. And it's divided in two parts. There's two ways to practice, two levels of practice. The first level is? Yeah, Vaidhi Bhakti. Sadhana Bhakti is divided in two parts. Vaidhi means rules, regulations. Get up from Mangal Arti, chant Japa, bow down 5 times a day to Mecca, go to church on Sunday, offer some bread and wine to God. So every acharya gives a set of rules and regulations like that. Marriage, so many things. That's Vaidhi Bhakti. So if you follow this, if you're following what the acharya says, you actually have a self-realized guru, Muhammad, Jesus Christ, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Ramanuja, somebody, right? Okay. And following what he says, then you become liberated. No more anxiety, no more problems here in Vaikuntha. But there's no feeling. It's kind of a neutral position. Every day you're making the offering to Krishna. Hey, here's your lunch. Come back in half an hour. See you later. There's rules and regulations. You have 2 sabjis, 1 wet, 1 dry, puri, savory, sweet. What else we got? Like that. Water, salt, pepper, tulsi leaves, mantras. You're doing it. You're liberated. But there's no feeling. This is the essence, So the second part of sadhana bhakti is practicing the feelings. Prabhupada says in here, we have to learn the little art of crying for Krishna. Right? We can practice right now. Let's cry for Krishna. Okay. It sounds ridiculous, but at a certain point we're trying to imitate Hanuman's feelings. We see how people are exploiting the earth, Bhumi. They're using her for such horrible things. She's being forced to produce grains that, to feed cows so they can be killed like that. So many nasty engagements like that. So this is Ravana's idea. He wants to kidnap Sita, right? And exploit her for his own gratification, like that. So maybe we're trying to stop this, we're fighting against this. But we have no feeling. Okay, so whose feeling do we imitate?
Some devotee's feeling.
Hanuman! Some devotee. Hanuman! Yeah. Okay. So he finally found Sita. He found her. And then he saw how she was being abused by Ravana, just so tormented. And then he had a few things to say about Ravana's sister and mother and everything else. You can imagine what a monkey can say when he's, enthusiastic about, misdescribing somebody. So he was using, that Ravana. He was like angry at him. So we're trying to follow some example like that. And, Rag Anuga, following the raga, the sentiment of some great devotee. And so this is the second part of sadhana bhakti. People don't know about this. You know about following rules and regulations, probably, right? But then after that, the natural thing is then you start becoming attracted to different saints. Sometimes we're attracted to, Vatsalya Ras, right? And so we want to, follow Mother Yashoda or Nanda Maharaj or Sakya Ras, Krishna's friends, How did Mother Yashoda offer lunch to Krishna? Well, it's different than his friends. They play with Krishna. So amongst Krishna's friends, there is Subal, Sridham, like that. So then the super soul starts arranging these things. By this level, you're already pretty much a Goswami or Goswamini. You're in touch with the Paramatma. Jitatmana prasantasya Paramatma samahita. You control the senses. Now you're in touch with the Paramatma. So you're finding certain verses. You're finding certain books are coming. And you realize there's more to this than just meets the eye. This is the book I'm supposed to have right now. This is the verse I'm supposed to meditate on, So then your Raganuga Bhakti becomes, meditation on these different sentiments and feelings, But we're still using the matches. We're still trying to get the fire going like that, We're still trying to start our car in the wintertime. Okay. Okay. So I always do this. I always do the joke. Gotta practice this in your lectures. Third wave. Okay, now we're coming to the third wave. What is the third wave? Bhava Bhakti. And Prabhupada gives these translations very specific. Ecstatic devotional service. Now some real sentiment is coming. My sentiment, my feeling, my swarup is coming out like that. You know? And it's called Bhava Bhakti. It's no longer matches. It's no longer the starter motor. That was the real motor. We finally got the real motor going there. But it wasn't continuous. It wasn't, you know, deep. It wasn't completely pure. You know? So and then we start Bhava Bhakti. We start sadhana bhakti, we start vaidhi bhakti, we go through raganuga bhakti, we start bhava bhakti, different levels for all these. You know? And so in bhava bhakti, there are different things. Right? He'll go into the second part, the southern part of the ocean. Here, this is all details of bhava bhakti. You know? And there's what? There's vibhava, anubhava. Add more of these. You need more, add more. You need more? One more then. A word from our sponsor. So the southern side, Samanya Bhagavat Bhakti Ras, general symptoms of transcendental mellow. Because we're feeling some real mellow now. Vibhava, Anubhava, Sattvika Bhava, Vibhya Vichari Bhava, and Stai Bhava. See, there are different levels of the Bhava increasing. Vibhava. Things that stimulate ecstasy. Now we got the fire going. Now we don't need any more matches. No. Now you need some real wood, right? But not too much, right? Or not too little, just the right size, right? Now you need some air, but not too much, not too little, right? So bhava bhakti is also a whole level of this thing, stimulating these things. And maybe the arti is supposed to be over in 30 minutes or 20 minutes, but because you're on this platform of bhava, you know what's happening, then you go for, you know, for an hour offering these things, right? So you're not following the rules and regulations so strictly now in terms of this, because now you're contacting the real thing, which is real Krishna's real happiness, real sentiment. So vibhava, stimulation, anubhava, some symptoms, some reaction, and they become more and more deeper, more and more intense, more stronger like that. Yeah. Stai bhava. Yeah. So again, that's the eastern part, that's the third wave, bhava bhakti. And it becomes more and more intense, and more and more strong like that. Until finally, we're back to our normal condition, which is? Prema bhakti. You know, devotional service in love of God, pure devotional service like that. And that's the given details in the western side and the northern side. Mukhya bhakti rasa, primary loving relationships. Five kinds. Neutrality, servitorship, friendship, parenthood, and conjugal love. He's describing as more and more intensity. And I always mention St. Thomas Aquinas. He's a standard theologian for the Catholic Church. He says same thing. He says you can kiss God. You know, there's a kiss of the feet, like a servant who loves his master. So he's kissing his feet. You know, master is saying, oh my gosh. You know? Then his hand kisses hand, like a friend. You know, or you can kiss his lips, like a lover, he says. And the conjugal love in the Catholic Church is called, I mentioned this so many times, my night, you know this, right? Yeah?
Bridal mysticism.
Next year, give us class next time. Bridal mysticism, or in Spanish, since you're practicing here, la boda mística. Boda is marriage. Yeah. And the Catholic Church accepts about five people, as far as they can identify, who reach this level of intensity in their writings and their work like that, of surrendering to God, like, you know, like a lover, you know, a bride. Of course, the first one is completely obvious, is Mary. You know, she... So her intensity is so intense that actually she has physical proof. God's my lover, you know. And then Santa Rosa of Lima, John of God, you know, Juan de Dios. And their writings are like that. They're very intense humor of just these feelings. And of course, in our tradition, even in Ram tradition, in Ramayana, there's Sita. Sita's a devotee. Hanuman's a devotee, like that. You know? And Sugriva's a devotee. But the sages of Dandakaranya, when they saw how the facility that Sita had to serve Ram and such, you know, such sensitivity and intimacy, confidentiality, they also wanted to serve him like that. So they asked that they could also, you know, take bodies and be, you know, be his wives, like that. And Ram said, "I've taken ekapatni vrata in this lifetime, this lila." You know? But and they said, "Well, okay, we know in the future you're also going to come as Krishna." And Krishna is a little. I think, yeah, that pastime you're a little more variegated. Can we become somehow or other become conjugal relationship at that time? And then Ram said, so like that. So we all we Indians know what that means, right? I have no objection, kind of, right? Yeah, no objection. Many people, the Vimal gopis, I think that the Vimal gopis, because there are many gopis, there's Apsara gopis, Vimal gopis, like that, in Vrindavan. So if you go to Bimal Kund, I'm going to map here, in Vrindavan, it's in Kamyavan, in Kama. And here's Vrindavan, Jaya, Jamuna, Govardhan, Kama. You got to go there. You got to learn these things. You get lost in Vrindavan. So Kama knew there was a Bimal Kund. And the story is, I think these were all ladies in Ayodhya who also were feeling this conjugal attraction to in service, not enjoyment, in service to Ram, that intensity. And but they were embarrassed. This is, not nice. We're married ladies and stuff. Yeah, but still, they had hearts that were feeling like this. So next lifetime, they all took birth as the daughters of Maharaj Bimal in Sindhu Pradesh. And he's trying to get all his daughters married. So all little girls, get them married. Get them married. Shut them out. So they're inclined to the idea, But he can't do it. He's just this prince, that prince, this, that. Nothing works out, So finally he calls a all-knowing astrologer. These guys running around here and there, starving, something. And he does the chart for all the girls. And he said, this is ridiculous, These girls can only be married to God. It's like, okay. where do I find God? Okay, hang on. He said, well, I don't know, but it's bizarre, but he's immature and he's a cowherd. Really. Not even a prince or a Brahmin. He's just like some goberwala, out in the field there. Okay. What does he look like? He looked like this, So then the Maharaj sends an emissary to Mathura. He's running around here and there, and finally he sees, Gopal with the flute, the feather, the complexion, everything, and he comes over to him and says, hey, I'm the emissary of Maharaj Sindhu Pradesh, and his daughters can only be married to you, to God. And so I ask you frankly, are you God? Then Krishna looks around and goes, shh. Yeah. Yes, but don't tell anybody here. They'll never believe it. So then they all come there and they're married. Brahma does a marriage or something like that. Something happens, a very beautiful festival. And that night they have a beautiful, Ras dance together, first time like that. And then a perspiration of Krishna and the gopis forms Bimal Kund. So when you're bathing in Bimal Kund, you're bathing in the perspiration of Krishna and the gopis, like that. Okay. So don't brush your teeth in Bimal Kund and spit in it. This is what happens. This is why all these places retreat, because of Kali Yuga, because of these offenses like that. So this is Prema. I guess we're talking about Prema Bhakti here. The different primary, the Western side. Mukya Bhakti Ras. Primary loving relationships. And we're presenting this because other people don't agree with this. Other people, for example, like we'll discuss Pushti Marg, as far as I understand, probably explaining, they're saying no, that Vatsalya Ras, that's the highest. The love of a mother for her child, nothing can surpass that. So we're arguing with the Pushti Marg, Radha, Yashoda, Radha, Yashoda, Radha, Yashoda. We die in ecstasy and we end up in Vrindavan and we're saying, Radha, Yashoda, Radha, Yashoda. Hey, we're both in Vrindavan. Yeah. Okay. All right, conjugal love. Conjugal love, okay. Yeah, Radha, Chandravali, Radha, Chandravali. So these arguments go on at different levels like that. Chandravali and Radharani are cousins, like that, But she's very, Chandravali is like, if Krishna doesn't show up on time or doesn't do something, she doesn't get angry and throw flower garlands at him and, break dishes. She just, suppresses her anger and scratches the ground with her toes and, things like that. But then Radharani is, hot-tempered and, so two different humors like that, But anyway, this is Rupa Goswami's analysis and he gives evidence from the revealed scriptures to support his whole thesis like this. So finally, then we have these primary mellows. We have a very big science here. It's called the Pagos. It's a complete science of Bhakti Yoga. And if you talk to people, like I'm quoting from different Christian sources like that, but if you talk to Christians and different groups of Christians and Muslims and people like that, you can also Ramanuja, I think what we call bhakti, Ramanuja, I think is calling karma yoga or something like that. It's just, you see, it's the same. It's just the words are different. Once you skip past this, you know, translation problem, you come into the same, you know, the same conceptions, the same realization, or the same things like that. You know? For example, Prabhupada always translates Vaidhi Bhakti as regulated devotional service, Raganuga Bhakti as spontaneous devotional service, Bhava Bhakti as ecstatic devotional service, and Prema Bhakti as pure devotional service. Well, they're all pure. They're all ecstatic. They're all spontaneous. You know? But he has to make some choice. You know. So, and if you read, you'll see he keeps that formality, that translation. You're reading the purport, for example, about Maharaj Bharata. And he'll be saying that Maharaj Bharata had come to the point of ecstatic devotional service. And you're thinking, oh, Prema Bhakti. But wait a second, no, ecstatic devotional service is Bhava Bhakti. And sure enough, that's what he's talking about. And Maharaj Bharata fell down from ecstatic devotional service. Yeah, okay. So many subtle points. These may not be so important to us right now in terms of practical activity, but they're kind of like important in terms of appreciating the full range and where we have to go, you know. I mean, if you're going to drive from Boise to the LA Rath Yatra, right, it's not so important like, you know, when you get into the Los Angeles area, which freeway you take and everything else. But you look at the map and you realize, okay, we need a map. When we get to this point, we're going to have somebody sitting there like, okay, you know, Cucamonga Freeway, okay, the next exit, get over, next exit, get out. Oh, you missed it, oh, damn it. Okay, wait a second, you know. Yeah, so you realize, you know, up ahead, certain things are going to happen. This is happening. And also, there is a pathway. This is where I'm at, you know, and I have to advance, you know. And if I don't come to Prema Bhakti by the time I die, I'm going to come back again, which is maybe why some of us are here in this room right now. We didn't do it. Yeah. Yep. Okay. So I don't know if you like Boise or not, but if unless you become perfect, you're going to have to come back again to Boise, Idaho. Right? Come to the same temple, right? The same people, right? The same problem. The same people again and again. God. So finally, northern side. Gauna Bhakti, Gauna Bhakti Ras. Indirect loving relationships. So there's seven indirect rasas, right? This is a science. Laughter, astonishment, chivalry, compassion, anger, dread, and ghastliness. What's an example of the Lord manifesting a ghastly feature? Narsingadev, yes. But these are secondary, you know. They can only be manifested on the basis of the five primary rasas, like that. The feelings are not independent. And sometimes when they come, they're even stronger than the original, like that, but they're not like permanent. You know, stai bhava. They're not fixed. Continuous ecstasies, but they exist. Okay. Then finally, Maitri Varya Stiti, compatible and incompatible mixing of mellows. So I give the example, different mellows, flavors, tastes, you know. Chocolate, mint, peppermint ice cream. You don't like that? Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Okay, next one we'll offer you. Chocolate broccoli ice cream. Yeah, so this is what he's talking about here. Incompatible mixtures of mellows. If, you know, Mother Yashoda starts, you know, dancing in conjugal humor with baby Krishna, it's like, oh God. It's nasty, it's ugly, you know. Yeah, it's more ugly than gross material immorality. Yeah. So these are the things that, you know, are accepted, rejected, and they become more and more subtle, combinations of flavors. But the five primary rasas are there, but then the combinations are what make the different motions and reactions and feelings like that. And it's a science. For example, material lamentation. You know, for example, we have the blues like that. You know, the blues. I don't know. This one motif of music in America. You know, black dudes are more prominent with this than, you know, white dudes. You know, one of the most famous blues singers, B.B. King. His guitar, Lucille. You know. All these songs like, you know, I think everybody, sometimes I think everybody's jiving me but my mother. And sometimes I think even she's jiving me too. Putting me on like that. Can't get free of those chains and things. Well, lamentation about material life. So is this a transcendental mellow? Lamentation about the negative aspects of material life? She's saying no. Someone says yes. Devotee's lamenting about how I'm a big rascal, I'm always engaged in sense gratification, I'm always wanting prestige and fame, I'm such a cheater. Is that a humor? Is he engaged in relishing some humor in spiritual life?
No.
So, say, no, it's not. But it can be a preservative of mellows. So you're feeling some real compassion for people. You really want to sacrifice and do something to help people. That's a spiritual relish. But it starts to diminish. So then you start lamenting about your material attachment and everything else, and that will preserve it. Yeah? So you come as platform of Bhava Bhakti, how to always stay enthusiastic, always stay fired up, you know, always, you know, at every moment. You know, when people came in contact with Prabhupada, they had two choices: become Krishna conscious or go away. That was it. There's no third option like that. You know? Even when Prabhupada was trying his best to be, you know, covered, still, you know, people coming out. One man saw Prabhupada walking by and he said, "Oh my God, who is that man?" It's like, just looking at him, you know. So it's just describing, you come to these more bhava, this sentiment, so you try to cover it, but it's like, you know, like smoke, you know, covering a fire. You still, it's there. You know, somehow or other, the heat, the sparks, the light flashing through. In Bombay one time, the devotees were describing, they had a program for Bombay? Several days, a Pandal program. And Prabhupada was preaching Bhagavad Gita, basic principles, you know, and following ethical principles, maintaining strict shudkana, not killing animals, ahimsa. And after the lectures, then one night the people were coming in, and, you know, Jnana Mishra Bhakti, "Oh yes, Prabhupada, I have my own commentary on Bhagavad Gita." And Prabhupada was being, you know, pleasant with them and stuff, you know. "And Swamiji, do you think it is so important to actually be vegetarian in the present time? And maybe in the present time we shouldn't be take these things as so important, you know." Jai. Hare Krishna. Every attention to come back. So these people are saying, "Do you think Prabhupada is so important to be vegetarian? Maybe in this present age we don't have to be so strict." And Prabhupada's trying to preach to them, but they're very arrogant. Yeah. But then the last night, the devotees started dancing on stage. Dinanath told me this. And it became ecstatic kirtan. And then Prabhupada got up and started dancing. And then it became this unlimited. And at some point, the devotees were in front of Prabhupada. And they all kind of just moved to one side. Come over here. Yeah. It's okay. More. Yeah. Yeah. So, at some point in the kirtan, this ecstatic kirtan, the devotees just separated like that. And everybody could see Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was just in this, you know, this intense ecstasy. Not just like you're seeing the body, you can sense the subtle, intense energy. There's a very famous picture of Prabhupada in San Francisco Rath Yatra. Tossing, he has his flower garland, he's tossing something, he just tosses the roses like this. Then he raises his hand before he raises his hands like that, you know? So there's also a picture from behind, camera from behind. And when Prabhupada raises his hand, you see this wave just passing through the audience of people going like this. See, it probably goes like this, you know, and you can just see this wave going through 1,000 people like that, just going back like that, you know. So in Bombay, when Prabhupada was just dancing in ecstasy, and, you know, the spiritual bhava was coming through the world, the audience separated for 1 second, and the whole audience, 3,000 people, was just, you know, they all were just inundated, and they all stood up, just like started chanting. So Dinanath said that night when these people came in, same arrogant people, "Oh Swamiji, you think it is really so necessary to become vegetarian?" So they were coming and crawling on their bellies from the door. "Swamiji, please forgive us, and because what can we do, and how can we yes and that and everything else." You know? So it's covered, right? Trying to cover it, you know. But very purified devotee, if we can maintain that platform, whoever we come in contact will be benefited somehow or other, right? They may become our intense enemies, right? Yeah, but that's okay too, right? Hiranyakasipu was the intense enemy of Prahlad, right? But he got the highest benefit, right? Yep. So it's a whole science how to maintain the different levels, you know, sadhana bhakti, raganuga bhakti, bhava bhakti, prema bhakti. So any questions? It's okay. You ready? If you don't have questions, I have questions.
And what's the highest class in the material world? I mean, we say the material, compare the material, and we say the best of it is the spiritual side is the better. So, like in the material world, like you're saying, Mother Yashoda and Radharani, like in the material world, isn't it always, I mean, the mother who is, you know,
well,
worried more about the child than a wife worrying about the husband?
No, the material, see, there's just two things here that distinguish maybe. Because something is physical, it doesn't mean it's material. You know, is this a material paper? No, it's a spiritual paper. This is a very important point, very subtle. You know, that when something is, you know, Maharaj Pariksit, after the whole Bhagavatam, he says, yeah, but you know, you're talking about God and all these things, but you're using words, you know, and thoughts, and words and thoughts are all material. So how can they describe God? It's such a common point. You go in Sankirtan and say, you take this book. You know, people say, well, you know, oh, God is beyond words. It's a very common, fundamental philosophical point to understand. So Maharaj, Sukadeva Goswami Maharaj, he responds, you know, he's saying, you're misunderstanding what is material. The material energy, you know, Bhomirapo Nalo Vayu Kamano Buddha Evacha, has two functions. It's going to either bewilder us and allow us to stay in here forever in different ways like that, or else it can be used as a way to approach Krishna like that. And so if we're using these things, then there can be some spiritual manifestation in the material world like that. So material rasa means indirect rasa with Krishna through the material body, you know, and therefore we find that there's no, it's a reflection, you know, it's like in the mirror, there's nothing in the mirror until you see a reflection of the real world, you know, but reflected fruits do not satisfy hunger, the Buddhist phrase, right? There's things missing, you know, so we try more and more intensity to enjoy, it becomes more frustrating, more angry, you know, like that. So it's a reflection. So the lowest thing in the spiritual world becomes the basic spiritual world becomes affected like that. So therefore, you know, what's it called? Paramour love, you know, some married lady keeping a boyfriend, right? It's the most degraded and abominable thing in the material world. So that rasa is the most perverted like that. So anyway, according to that, then, you know, being a motherly love a little bit less perverted, but materialistic, right? I want my child to grow up and survive and everything else, so when I'm old, I'll have power. I'll be a powerful old woman with diamonds and rings and thousands of servants. And you see evil queen mothers like this, you know, right? Working through their sons, and you know, the most horrible thing. Lady Macbeth, you know the story? Right? Actually, I'll read Shakespeare. It's very nice. You know? It's very nice, probably for word power and everything else. She wanted to become queen. You know, her husband was like an earl, you know, one step below the king. She had this desire, some other developing in her mind, in her heart. You know, she just had this thing, I've got to have this. You know? So she started working on her husband and finally convinced him that the king was like somehow or other, was his friend, wasn't his friend, everything else. So finally when he was staying in their palace, traveling with his entourage, they murdered him, you know, and, you know, stabbed him. And then in the morning they all woke up and, oh, the king has been murdered. And they all asked, oh, who has done this? Find out who has done this. But they did it. You know, so on. So it went on like this. And then after a while she began to realize what she'd done or something like that and everything else. And so she started becoming more and more neurotic and she had these bad dreams. And everybody else starts to suspect what's happening. So she had this, you know, called Freudian dream over and over again of going through the murder again and again. And then when they would come out, you know, her white cloth would have one spot of blood on it. You know, it's like she couldn't wash out that spot of blood like that. So she's having these nightmares, and her servants, serving maids are seeing all these things. And you know, so the famous line is, out, out, damn spot. Like that, you know? So one famous lady actress, they never, she was a very, very powerful actress, but she quit her career just when films were becoming possible. So there's only one, this short clip of her on film, but it was just incredible, you know, what she did. You know. So anyway, she used to do this legitimate stage theater of Shakespeare. And when she would come to this point of Macbeth, play this thing, people would pass out in the audience. It was like out, out, damn spot. It was such anguish and suffering that people would just literally lose consciousness. So the directors were telling her, "Lighten up!" It's like too much. You know? going fatty people, like oxygen to wake them back up. But it was, that's what it was. It was, you know, you create a hell past human imagination like that. You know? And so then finally, you know, finally she just goes nuts. And her husband's left holding the bag. Right? He can't, you know, chastise his wife because she's crazy. So he's responsible for everything, right? This happens, right? Your wife made you do it, but in the end, you're sitting there like that. Yeah. Read Shakespeare. No, it is. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. You see so many things there. You know? And so then, you know, and then one of his friends has figured out what's happened. McDuff is the guy's name. You know? McDuff. So now they're going to attack. What's the guy's name? Macbeth's palace. Macbeth's castle's there, and he has a benediction from some sage, and you'll be the king of Scotland until Birnam Wood comes to your palace, which is named Dunsinore. So a forest grows slowly, right? Yeah, the forest is growing very slowly. So for a forest to grow all the way down the hill, you know, up to your palace door is a long time. So you'll be king of Scotland until Birnam Wood comes to Dunsinore. He says, "Oh, okay, I got the blessings of the sages." You know. So the opposing party now is organized behind Macduff, and they're bringing an army to attack him, and his wife's gone nuts. And then but they're kind of outnumbered, so the Macduff figures, okay, that we'll do this. We'll approach the place behind, you know, cut branches and stuff, and that way they won't be able to see how many people there are. So then they're coming the next day, and somebody runs to the king, Macbeth, and says, "Oh, Birnam Wood has come to Dunsinore." So his benediction is down the drain. His wife is down the drain. You know, so there's a candle there. It's very nice. He says, "Out, out, brief candle." How's it go? "Life is but a tale told by an idiot." Yeah. a poor actor who struts and frets his hour upon the stage and then is heard no more. You know, it is a tale told by an idiot full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. That's a very, you know, it's just Shakespeare. It's a very, it was very short, but it's just like, wow, you know. So but he has this Shakespearean morality, you know. He says, okay, you know, blow wind, storm crack, at least we'll die with armor on our back, right? Shakespeare. So he goes out, you know, at least we'll die with a noble death, honor like that, redeem himself. So, okay, a lot of Rosses there, no? A lot of humors, and some are mixtures, some are impure. And all of me were saying, that's the motivational principle. It's not just logic, right? I'm doing something because of logic. You know? But that just becomes overwhelmed behind some kind of, you know, sentiment, feeling, and stuff like that. So material rasas are perverted reflection of spiritual rasas. And again, a mother's love for her children may be completely materialistic, like that. She wants to love her children so that I'll get material benefit from my children. I mean, again, we see so many royalties, so many evil queen mothers manipulating their children, their sons and daughters who become princesses and princes to get so many things and create empires, and, you know, it's just like murders and assassinations. It becomes ghastly, you know, motherly love. But this is material, you know. So here we're finding different combinations of purity, you know, like that, you know. So karma yoga is the lowest level, and there's some mothers doing her karma, dharma, same thing. You know, we should take care of her children, right? That's your duty. You know, you should do that. And then the husband should take care of his wife and children. Okay, this is karma, dharma. But why? You know, sacrifice the results to Krishna. I don't care if my children take care of me, if they marry well and all these kind of things. Let them become devotees. And then whatever happens to me, it's Krishna's arrangement. Yeah, so that's karma yoga. You know, doing your duty but sacrifice the results to Krishna. And that's what Arjuna finally decided to do in the Bhagavad Gita. Regain Draupadi's honor, right? That's the point. But not because she's my wife. That was the beginning. I wanted to be happy with me, tie her hair up, you know, like that. Again, I have a husband. Thank you. You know? No. No, you do it because she's my devotee. And that was the whole principle. They knew that when they insulted her. They knew they were insulting Krishna, ultimately. It was the whole motivation behind everything. It had to come to that, you know? Like that. Yeah? So it goes on. Deeper and deeper. And you discover it's always been going on all around you. You know? We're going through life, we just don't know what's happening. There's a cockroach on the king's throne. And the cockroach thinks, I am an intimate associate of the king. Yeah. So we're cockroaches in Boise, you know. But many things are happening here. You know, Krishna's doing many things, trying to do things, and if we're more competent, then we can help. And it's required. And in some ways, Krishna needs us, really needs us to participate. In other ways, he doesn't need us. But some ways, yes, it's because of his own choice. Like that. So that's what Rupa Goswami is presenting here. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So any other questions? So the material world, Prabhupada's actually saying someplace in the material world that motherly love is maybe the highest we can find, or something, the purity maybe. Because it's very difficult to have pure conjugal love in the material world or something. These are subtle questions. But basically, by the time you're already to sadhana bhakti, to raghunatha bhakti, you're already, there's no bodily concept of life. He's saying in the beginning of Vaidhi Bhakti, when you follow rules and regulations, your religion, your acharya, do this, do that, get up, that, and it works. And you become free from anxiety, liberated. And then you come to Raghunuga Bhakti. But at that point, you have to be off the material platform. But maybe still some idea. So then the ladies are attracted to Vishnu Priya, and the Lord Chaitanya's wife, widow. He took sannyas, so she's Lakshmi. So what did she do after he took sannyas? She wore a bright sari and went out and played and had a good time. No? What color sari is she?
White.
Probably white. Yeah, he's a widow. 16-year-old girl. So he was preaching the glories of the holy name, going all over the world. So what does she do?
She worships the deity that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave to her.
Well, something like that. There's rumor like that. Yeah, or shoes. And she would chant japa?
Yeah, when she used to eat one grain of rice, she used to chant whole mantra.
Yeah, one mantra for, we cannot be. She would take one grain of rice for each mantra. That, Yeah. And then at 3 o'clock, she stopped, and however many grains of rice she had, that was she would eat. She was always very skinny. She was like the waning moon and wouldn't show her face to anybody. But she, she was so intense that just by seeing her, people would immediately manifest, realize the real meaning of life and who we are. So you may be you're imitating. Srihari takes sannyas. Okay. He travels all over the world bravely preaching the glories of the holy name. So you stay in Vrindavan, one grain of rice, chanting. This is bhava bhakti. Raghunuga's Vaidhi is not enough. We're following rules and regulations. We're doing all these things properly, but it's not enough. There's something more here. What is it? Some sentiment. So in the beginning, it's natural that ladies were following, Yashoda or Vishnu Priya, the sentiments. And then men are following, Hanuman or Nityananda or like that, But as you go in Raghunuga Bhakti, then it can reverse, because your swarup can be the opposite. You can be a donkey in the spiritual world like that. whatever it is, So you start, but this is like you've Vishnu Priya or Chaitanya, they're carrying on their bodily functions just by habit. There's no bodily concept anymore, no physical bodily concept. That's why it's very difficult to understand. It's like, Plato, he said, the highest ras is conjugal ras, way to love God. And they were called Koros and Kore, Lakshmi Narayan, Radha Krishna. Koros, Kore. They said, but don't discuss this in public. It'll just become vulgar. And then when it went to Rome, it became known as Hova and Hoventa. And it passed all the way through Europe. And the same stories being passed down. When the young shepherd would play his flute, the calves would stop with the tears in their eyes and unable to suck the milk from the mother's milk bags. Same phrases went to so-and-so of Flanders and Flaubert in the 2nd century, 3rd century, 4th century. Then it went to South America. And everybody acknowledging previous poets. And then in 1987, Dora Bassan, Montenegro, de Devota, who got her 4th PhD and Emeritus Professor Award for researching these things. And she wasn't able to go beyond the Greeks. But she thought there was more. But everybody said, no, it started there. With Plato. And somebody sold her a Krishna book, and she found the same phrases, everything else like that. So now she's publishing her PhD thesis as a little book like that, which shows, the same phrases, ideas passing this one generation for hundreds of years back, like that. But people say Srimad Bhagavatam is only produced in the 12th century, right? That's kind of the Indologist view many times, like, oh, in the 12th century it was put together, it was composed. It's very good. Well, maybe there, it existed in other forms before other traditions, like that. So she gave this presentation in India at the Asiatic Society, and they loved it. Here, European literature is coming from Indian literature, you know. But it totally messes up their whole, you know, it messes up their whole idea, you know, of development of the invasion theory. She said, well, you know, you're saying it only was invented in the 12th century, but then that means that all these phrases all over Europe came together from the 3rd century and 4th century and came to India and got collected in India in the 12th century, like that. You know? So, well, it's kind of strange. Yeah. So, okay? Yeah. Yeah. So, yes, sir.
Sadhana was sufficient to get us to that level?
To where?
To
Vaikuntha. Yeah.
Yeah. 16 rounds for
Vaidhi Bhakti you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Without getting into Raghunagar.
Yeah. Yeah. Vaidhi Bhakti will take you to Shanta Ras. Hallelujah. 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 Allah Akbar. Allah Akbar. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yeah. Yeah. That's Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu, you know? Oh my Lord, Master of the Universe, right? Oh my Lord, Master of the Universe, right? This is Shantaras, Mahavishnu, yeah. Until we come to that platform, we can't go on. But that's the first level. Mahavishnu is the first level out of the material world, like that. Yeah. Well, Raghunuga is not even, Goloka is Prema Bhakti. Yeah, and the higher rasas.
One of those four rasas?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because Hanuman doesn't go up to Goloka.
Huh?
Hanuman is more.
Sometimes, some way, some place, these things are there. Sometimes Krishna and the gopis and the cowherd boys all play Ram Leela in Kamyaban. I mean, Radharani comes up with a great idea. And they're like little boys and girls, like 12 years old, 13 years old. And Radharani says, okay, today we're gonna, I have a great idea for a game. I'm going to be a great princess. You know, cowherd boys and girls. And a demon's going to kidnap me. Sridham, my brother. Sridham, right? Okay, you know, it's like, okay, you know. Okay, so you're going to be a demon today and kidnap me. And everybody else has to find me. And they're playing Ram Leela. So then Krishna and the cowherd boys are trying to find Radharani. They can't find her anywhere like that, you know. And Radharani is becoming, you know, a little distressed about not being able to play with Krishna. And, oh, Sridham, let me go play with Krishna. No, no, I'm a demon. Ha, 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 you can't go. Hey, what is it? Ah, ha. Okay, so, you know. So then Ram Leela, you know, is imitated and coming from Goloka. And it's so much fun that it just goes on forever. And it's like you're playing some game, you don't want it to stop, but you can do that in the spiritual world. So they expand themselves as Sita and Ram and Hanuman. You know. I think Sudama, Krishna rides on his shoulders as a cowherd boy. So when Krishna expands as Vishnu, he expands as Garuda. When Krishna goes to the material world, you know, then he expands himself to the material world also. So Goloka is the source of all these things. So that everything is there in some form. You know? Like that. You know? Should be a little bit here. I'm going to finish off here. So we're doing this whole course. Now these are available. You know, how much? $100? $15. Next devotion, don't have it. And also, there's a course available from the Vrindavan Institute of Higher Education online. And it's kind of starting May 1st. If somebody's interested in taking it, it's $70. And it covers Nectar, the first part, the eastern side of Nectar of Devotion, Isopanishad, which is a small book, and Nectar of Instruction, like that, for only $70. And if we send our money together, we can save money on the Western Union money transfer. So if you want to sign up. So I'm going to be doing that. And we'll start May 1st and maybe just have a... maybe if we have a small study group here. And it's very systematic. Then you go through this, they have questions, answers, so many things like that. And then after that, there's two more units, which is first and second half of Bhagavad Gita. And after that, you get your, if you're chanting and following everything, you get your Bhakti Shastri degree, diploma, like that. Bhakti Shastri. Yeah. So, what I'm going to be teaching, though, is a course at Radha Desh. Radha Desh is our temple in Belgium. And they're doing full Doctor of Divinity degree, like that. And it's being accredited by Wales Lampeter University. Wales is a place in England there, a famous place. But Lampeter University is... Yeah, there it is. This is the teacher's manual. You know. Wales Lampeter, established 1822... Open learning theology and religious studies. So different religions can go there and get their, you know, their thing accredited as a formal university degree. So I have to conform to all the rules in this in terms of teaching the course and tests and, you know, unit one, level two, diploma, reporting things, you know. So, but it's nice in some ways. It's a real academic university level course. So, and it's never been done before. In ISKCON, we're just creating these things, you know. So what I'm doing, as I finish off here with this, is going back to Chaitanya Charitamrita. Okay. And this is $100, but it's worth it. This is the biography of Lord Chaitanya, one of them, like that. And of course, Prabhupada gives these, you know, these fantastic purports, unbelievable purports. And one chapter is entitled Instructions to Rupa Goswami. Lord Chaitanya is spending... 24 years in Navadvip, Adi Lila. Then he takes off for 6 years traveling all over India, like that, South India, everywhere, preaching the glories of the Holy Name, goes to Vrindavan and comes back, South India, Madhya Lila, and then spends 18 years just in Puri, absorbing these internal mellows of devotional service, manifesting them, showing them like that, you know, relishing Srimad Bhagavatam. So in the Madhya Lila, on the way back from Vrindavan, in Varanasi, Allahabad, Prayag, he met Rupa Goswami. And for 10 days on the Dashashtamedha Ghat, he then explained to him the philosophy of devotional service, everything like that. So I'm wondering then if that was the source, if you find the same things here, right? Find the same ideas. Because after he finished everything, he told Rupa Goswami, now you go ahead and take what I've given you, you support it with quotations from the scriptures, everything else like that. We're saying this hierarchy is here where you show how this is more intense, everything else like that. So Rupa Goswami said, I can't possibly do this. How can I do this? And he paid his obeisances to Lord Chaitanya. Then Lord Chaitanya put his foot on his head. He said, now you can do it. He said, oh, now I can do it. Like that. Yeah? So we're going to read a little bit directly from this. You've been reading it for the last few nights. See, if you come to class every night, you get all these wonderful benefits like that. Right? Yeah. So some people, we started some time ago. So we're on text number about 200 here. But I'll go back to the first text. Okay, so we can all chant it together. And next few nights, we'll go on like this. The infant mewling and puking in his mother's arms. Please repeat. Where is this? Oh. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare. Ah. Vrindavaniyam.
Vrindavaniyam.
Related to Vrindavan.
Related to Vrindavan.
Vrindavaniyam.
Vrindavaniyam.
Rasa Keli Vartam.
Rasa Keli Vartam.
Talks about the pastimes of Sri Krishna.
Talks about the pastimes of Sri Krishna.
Vrindavaniyam Rasa Keli Vartam.
Vrindavaniyam Rasa Keli Vartam.
Vrindavaniyam Rasa Keli Vartam.
Vrindavaniyam Rasa Keli Vartam.
Kalena.
Kalena.
With the course of time.
With the course of time.
Luptam.
Luptam.
Lost.
Lost.
Nija Shaktim.
Nija Shaktim.
His personal potency.
His personal potency.
Kalena luptam.
Kalena luptam.
Nija Shakta Utka.
Nija Shakta Utka.
Shancharya Rupe Vyatanot Punasa Prabhurvida Prag Ivaloka Shristim. Before the creation of the cosmic manifestation, the Lord enlightened the heart of Lord Brahma with the details of the creation and manifestation, manifested Vedic knowledge. In exactly the same way, the Lord, being anxious to revive the Vrindavan pastimes of Lord Krishna, impregnated the heart of Rupa Goswami with spiritual potency. By this potency, Sri Rupa Goswami could revive the activities of Krishna in Vrindavan, activities almost lost to memory. In this way, he spread the Krishna consciousness movement. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
So he describes how all the brothers, Rupa Sanatana and Balabha, met Lord Chaitanya. And finally left all of their engagement as the home minister, finance minister of Bengal. They started going to Vrindavan. On the way there, Rupa Goswami met Lord Chaitanya. And after some time, he sat for 10 days and instructed him. And we've already read this part. The first thing he said is, there's unlimited numbers of living entities in the material world. How big are they?
As small as the 1/10,000th of the tip of the hair.
Okay. If you take a hair and divide the tip into 100 parts, and divide each of those parts into 100 parts, that's how big the soul is. But it's small. And out of these, most are animals, bacteria, rubbish. You know, some become human beings, and out of those, some, you know, follow religion. Others are just animals, you know. But those who follow religion usually follow for some economic development, to get something. And out of those who actually follow for the purpose of achieving liberation, very few come to the point of following religion to develop pure love of God, like that. So then he describes like a creeper. Love of God is growing up. It's going higher and higher like a creeper. The seed comes from Guru and Krishna. We water that by hearing, chanting, discussing, talking about Krishna. It goes higher and higher until finally it reaches Goloka, and it manifests these fruits of love for Krishna like that. So he's describing the different kinds of love of Krishna. And he comes to this point. Okay. Shantaras asvarupa budye krishnaiki nistata samonishtaya bude iti srimukha gata. When one is fully attached to Krishna's lotus feet, one attains the shamatha stage. The word shamatha is derived from the word shama, and therefore the shantaras, the position of neutrality, means being fully attached to the lotus feet of Krishna. This is a verdict from the mouth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. This statement is called self-realization. Now he's quoting then from Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhakti Rajmi Sindhu. Shamoman nishtata buder iti sri bhagavad bacha. These are the words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When one's intelligence is fully attached to my lotus feet, but one does not render practical service, one has attained the stage called shantaras, or neutrality. Without shantaras, or attachment to Krishna, it is very difficult to achieve Krishna. Samamana nishtata buder. The word shama or shantaras indicates that one is attached to the lotus feet of Krishna. Dhamma means controlling the senses and not being deviated from the Lord's service. Endurance of unhappiness is called titiksha. And dritti means controlling the tongue and genitals. Giving up all desires not connected with Krishna is the business of one who is in shantaras. Only a devotee of Krishna can be situated on that platform. Thus he is called a shanta bhakta. When a devotee is situated on the platform of shantaras, he desires neither elevation to the heavenly planets nor liberation. These are the results of karma and jnana. And the devotee considers them to be no better than hell. A person situated on the shantaras platform manifests the two transcendental qualities of detachment from all material desires and full attachment to Krishna. Narayana para sarve, Srimad Bhagavatam 6:37-28. A person who is devoted to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, is not afraid of anything. Elevation to the heavenly kingdom, condemnation to hell, and liberation from material bondage all appear the same to a devotee. These two qualities of shantaras spread through the lives of all devotees. They are like the quality of sound in sky. Sound vibration is found in all elements. It is the nature of shantaras that not even the smallest intimacy exists Rather, knowledge of impersonal Brahman and localized Paramatma is prominent. On the platform of Shantaras, one realizes only his constitutional position. But when one is raised to the platform of Dasya Ras, he better understands the full opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Tomorrow night, we'll hear more about Dasya Ras. Republic Key. Yeah. Any final questions, comments, ideas? Okay. Nice. Okay. So Prabhupada gives a long lecture like this, and he says, so, you can understand all these books, philosophy, but if you think it's just too much trouble, then just chant Hare Krishna and take prasadam. You'll become perfect. No other thing needs to be done. So, let's chant Hare Krishna. A little different. This is what Lord Chaitanya was chanting when he was going through the Jarikanda forest, this mantra. And all the monkeys were screaming in ecstasy and jumping, and the tigers and the deer were kissing each other, and the elephants were trumpeting like that. It's a very powerful mantra. Be careful with this. Krishna, 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 hey.
Krishna, 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 hey.
Krishna, 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 hey.
Krishna, 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 Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Mahima.
Krishna, 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 Mahima.
Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rakshama. Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Pahima.
Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Pahima.
Krishna, 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 hey.
Krishna, 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 hey.
Krishna, 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 hey.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Krishna, 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 Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Rama.
Krishna Bhagavan ki
jai,
Radharani ki
jai,
Gopal Bhagavan ki
jai,
all glory to some of the body.